Welcome back to the Oblivious Maximus podcast for another episode. I'm your host, Aaron. This is...
Your other host, Ben. How are you going, Aaron?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
You know, today we've just got two great lads in here with us.
The fellas.
The fellas. Nathan and Zach from Disdain.
How you doing, kid?
Good job. Welcome. Welcome. Thanks for coming to the pod.
Thank you for having
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having us.
First time pod for you both?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, in this scenario, yeah.
Yeah.
You did run over the phone, right?
Yeah.
With Pete?
Yeah. But, yeah.
Bit different.
I feel like I'm talking to nobody. And my missus is just looking at me going. Anyway.
Yeah, was it?
She thinks most things I do are ridiculous anyway, so.
It was a wild time doing podcasts during the lockdown because it truly was just quite literally talking to people over the phone and recording phone calls, basically.
Yeah, right.
Like using it as an opportunity just to nag your friends who you couldn't see.
Yeah.
But
it's like a Jerky Boys, but less funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
Recording the calls.
So we got you on here, new band.
Yeah.
Nathan, you've been in more bands than any human should be allowed, much like myself.
Yeah, I was going to say,
yeah.
Those who live in glass houses should have
But Zach.
First band.
First band.
Yeah.
How's it feel?
It's good. It's been dope.
Yeah?
Yeah, feeling it's been received well.
I wish my first band was this good. Fuck.
Well, I was listening to the demo on the way here, and it came up last week when we were chatting to the World of Joy guys. It's like, it sounds sick. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
Like, you think about demos back in the day, it's like the most dog shit thing ever. But, like, you guys really captured a sound straight away.
Yeah. Oh, well, our other guitarist, he sort of has like a
clear vision, I guess.
Yeah. He's an older dude as well. So he's kind of, I don't know, sort of knows what he likes and just wanted to do something.
Yeah.
And we were just talking and it just took so long to actually come to fruition. But when it did.
What was like the impetus? Was it you wanting to sing in a band or was it just...
Nah, it was more or less they had riffs.
We had riffs and we're like, whoever sings has to be like someone who can pit.
Yep.
And doesn't, isn't in a band and just, And then we saw him do like a couple of guest vocals for Speed and we're like, let's hit up Zach.
Sick.
And then, he said,
And now look at you.
The impetus of it, yeah.
Now you're on a podcast. You've taken the world by storm.
Rockstar lifestyle.
It's like a little trial shift with Speed. Yeah, when you get the big call up.
Yeah. Mom, I got on the team.
But so, what was it like writing the songs? Did you do that? Was that you?
I wrote the first song, and then it kind of. Alex bought his songs and my song sort of shifted into his style a bit more. And then, sort of more took his writing style.
Yeah.
Which is very different to how I write music.
How so?
He's got like more of like a jangly, flowy style. And I'm like just trying to get as many palm mutes in as possible because I can't do anything else.
Yeah. It's just got to be heavy the whole time.
I'm just faking it basically. It's good. And I think now that we're on the same sort of wavelength, I think it will come together a lot better.
And Zach, how did you go like trying to develop your voice? And is that something you kind of already had or was it kind of came natural?
Yeah. It took a second for sure. But it was more or less when we were recording.
Mm. Yeah, when we were recording, like at practice, I guess, because it's just so loud in the room, you can kind of just go, But when we were recording, I could tell he was holding back.
Yeah,
a little bit, and I'm just like, dude, just push.
It is.
It just hit a point, and it just went like from like 10 to like 110.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Man. It is really hard finding that though.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't like I did backing vocals in I Exist for Ages, and even that was just like mindless yelling.
Yeah.
But even that was a thing where like the first two times I tried to do it, it was just kind of like, you sit in a car and you pretend to yell and like that's kind of what just comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you actually just have to like push it.
You got to project yourself a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just got to not hold back, I guess.
Yeah.
And when you're there doing it, it's, and especially like two people in the room looking at you, and it's only the headphones, you can't hear the music.
Yeah.
And like, you're just so self-conscious. It's fucking crap.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I did the whole last Mental Cavity record at home during COVID.
Yeah.
And just nightmare stuff in there.
Yeah, like, right.
Just yelling every testy pop, just me, like really looking into myself, wondering what's wrong with me.
I'm imagining like your partner like cooking something and then just hears this like, bah, and just like.
Well, thankfully she wasn't there. I just sort of timed it, but my dog was.
Oh, God.
And so every time I would like start doing it, she would just like bolt into the room and be like,
what's going on?
What are you doing in here? Like. And then get like real spooked and run out. But yeah, no, it's very like daunting. How was it playing the first show though? Because that's probably
also daunting.
Yeah.
It was good though. Like, felt good having all my buddies.
Yeah.
On the bill, maybe more comfortable. AWOL, Docs.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Same deal with this next show coming up with, you know, Downside being on the bill, all the buddies.
Yeah.
So
it eases you into it.
It helps me, yeah, a little bit. And also with touring with Speed, I just felt more comfortable because I'm looking at 500 people and I'm like, okay, fuck, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm the center of attention as well as everyone else around me. But I'm like, fuck, I did it at Sound and Fury.
Yeah.
That's 5,000 people.
Yeah.
Why do I have to be fucking...
Yeah.
I feel like the smaller gig is often harder because it's like... It's like people...
It's more intimate. Yeah.
Merge less into like one big mass of people.
Yeah. It's like just becomes a big void past like the first row of people.
Yeah. When you're starting to see individual faces, you're like...
Oh, and you know them, you're like...
Or gaps in the crowd and you're like, oh, Jesus. Oh,
fuck. Yeah.
I often talk about with people at least... Particularly, I feel like people who are kind of newer to playing in bands and stuff where they're like, oh, you know, played this show. There wasn't that many people there. It wasn't that good or whatever. And I'm like, you got to wait till you play a show to zero. Because playing a show to zero is like where your reality really checks in.
Yeah.
And like some people are like, oh, that would have been ages ago for you. I'm like, no way, brother. that still comes around every now and then.
I reckon ages ago was probably better.
Yeah. I would prefer it if it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, I mean, standing up in front, like, you know, what was like the first time you sang in a band?
Oh, back to the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, so awkward.
Yeah.
Like, so bad.
I didn't really do it until the first, well, no, Stratum never did it until the first Aglo show. And I was like, had no idea what to do.
Yeah.
Was so used to playing guitar. You know, prior to that, played drums. So I had like so many things in front of me and things that I needed to focus on.
Things you can hide behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then that first Aglo show, like I wrote all the songs. I played it all myself. So being up there, being the one person who wasn't doing anything, I was like, all right, I'm doing the classic mic stand, relying on the mic stand. First song, mic stand just dropped completely into the thing. And I was like, mic stand's gone. That's it. Like... but I said, you know, even still, I did it on last weekend and it's still fucking weird. Like, it's still so bizarre doing it.
Yeah, but you sound like a fucking animal. Yeah. You look comfortable.
Thank you. So.
Yeah.
I just know all the things I don't like when I watch people.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I got to avoid doing this. I got to avoid doing this. I got to avoid doing this.
What were some of those things?
Back to the crowd.
You don't want to call anyone out.
Back to the crowd.
Back to the crowd is
fucked. Back to the crowd is fucked, bro. Like,
yeah.
You feel like the biggest piece of shit. Like, you're just like, I'm just totally disrespecting everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Me. You've but all like, paid.
But
yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, it's a shame he has his back to the crowd, but like,
maybe he's nervous. Like,
it's all right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, doing comedy for the first time, was that like fucked?
I think, well, because I'd played in bands, it kind of eased me in a little bit. But I definitely, like, the first time I ever did comedy, like, took a mate who was also doing it for the first time. So that kind of eased it a little bit. But luckily, most people first open mic is like no one. And when I started 2015, there was a gig where it was like I got put on early, which I think was almost more daunting. Like they put me in a bracket with people who'd been doing it for a while. And so you're like, fuck, I could really stand out here. But I think that actually gave you a bit of confidence.
Yeah,
and I think like first gig, you got that nervous energy. So it went all right.
Yeah.
But then definitely since then, I've had some gigs where I'm like, yeah, I might end it after this.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's enough for me. So talk about what were the influences then that you sort of brought into the songs?
Well, Pag, his thing is like making having it sound like Marauder.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which it definitely. That's like his thing. Yeah, it sounds exactly.
I like Marauder a lot.
Yeah.
I can never emulate that kind of music. Mm.
Yeah.
Just on my ability, that's probably on me learning to play better. But yeah, no, like stuff like Gut Instinct and like, like Madball.
Yeah.
Crown of Thorns, just classic New York hardcore.
Yeah,
bands.
Yeah.
Like every band I've done since I've lived in Melbourne has just been like
a
version of a New York hardcore band.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, yeah, everyone's, I guess like
a bit different.
Yeah.
In this one, I think.
But I really like King Nine. Like,
yeah.
They're a fucking awesome band.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just didn't want it to sound too modern. That's what I like about them. They don't like you can say it was from the '90s if you
sure yeah
particularly the early stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think the thing for me, like, again, listening to it today, I think it's quite funny because I reckon there's been quite a few bands in Australia, I think, in over the time that hardcore has been like supremely popping off here that have tried to find a Marauder sound, but have got like maybe a little bit stuck in the weeds in like certain aspects of it, like the noodly guitar parts, or. Like, I mean, I'm happy to call them out because I'm friends with them. But, like, I would say, like, Phantoms had that as an idea.
Yeah, yeah.
But then they got, like, real... Now they're... Whoa, like, the riffs move around a lot, you know?
I think the other influences came.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Marauder's, like, particularly technical.
But no.
It's, like, it's just the way it's delivered. And,
like,
obviously that recording was aided by Paris...
Yeah,
quite well.
Absolutely.
But like even the later stuff is like really cool too.
Yeah, yeah. Where did you guys record this one?
We recorded at Wick.
Yeah,
Oh, yeah.
We did drums in Wick and then like just in one of the rooms and then did everything else at the Black Lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lewis?
Yeah, with Lewis. Yeah, yeah.
Dope.
Shout out Lewis.
Yeah. Aglo's guitar player. Learn that song I sent you today, please. Thank you.
Copy.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think you need to, as you probably were saying, like with recording at your house during COVID, I don't think you need like to go into a studio with the divider. Obviously, it's easier for the engineer to work in a proper studio.
Mm.
But I don't know, like some of the stuff I've done in more recent times has just been like in rehearsal spaces.
And yeah.
Like to me, it sounds just as good and authentic.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I mean, it's the vibe too.
Yeah.
Like I know for ages, people always told us like the first I Exist 7-inch was like the best thing we ever did. And we recorded that in a kitchen. Like, and then the second thing that we did that everyone said was the best thing we did in Murph's garage. And it was like... We paid like $20,000 to record a record and you like the one in the fucking kitchen? Like, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my gripe.
No gripes.
So how many bands have you been in since you lived down here? And any previous to that as well?
I actually had a memory come up a couple of days ago. I'll get onto that question one second, but... Do you guys remember, did you play in Slow Burn? You did.
Yep.
Do you remember playing Expressive Grounds?
Yep.
In like the middle of winter?
Yes.
Yeah, I left my brother's like wedding to come to that show only to see you guys and I'd miss you.
Matthew. Was that with like Against and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, was. A very long time ago. So the first band I played in had the worst name on planet Earth. It was called A Day Out With X Clancy X. Yeah.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. Don't do bands with weirdos. Anyway, the next band I did was Wrecking Ball, and I did another band called Retriever, and then I moved to Melbourne.
Yeah.
Oh, I started Shackles as well with Mark. Did like a handful of shows, and then I moved to Melbourne. And then since then I've done like maybe like 15 bands.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the way to
do it.
Yeah, it's what happens when you move to Melbourne.
Yeah, and I only can't count bands that have actually done something. Like, there's bands that I've attempted to do.
Yeah.
And just for whatever reason, it doesn't eventuate.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. I just constantly just have these cogs in my brain. And if I don't do anything with the cogs, I just don't function. But, yeah, I don't know. I just like hanging out with my mates and shit.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was wondering the other day whether you would have played in Shackles when I played with Shackles in like the earliest times of doing it. Because I reckon I played shows with Shackles when it was like well before they were the band people know and love.
Yeah, I think...
Because I think I played like 4 shows in Byron at the Youth Centre where it was like, who knows who's playing this show?
I think I only played 2 or 3 shows and one of them was a blackout show. Mm-hmm. And the other one was just like the Shed. I don't know if you played the Shed in Byron. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Shed as well. And then I might have just been the 2 actually.
Yeah.
And then I moved.
Yeah.
Like I just said to Mark, I'm leaving in a month.
Yeah.
So we wrote a demo in a week, recorded it that weekend, and then played a show like a week later. And
yeah.
And yeah, that was how it started.
Why did you move here?
I don't know. Like I'd never lived in a city. I grew up in Tweed Heads.
Yeah.
I just felt like there was something to do for the most part, and just drove down in my Corolls Royce and filled to the brim with things and my ex-partner and and then as soon as I got here Neil messaged a friend of ours at the time and was like, does your friend want to play guitar in Looking In or Frozen Over?
Yeah,
so I just jumped in and Looking In.
Yeah,
I should have done Frozen Over as well, but I didn't want to do too much at once because I didn't even have gear at the time.
Yeah.
And then
better wait to be in 15 more bands.
Yeah, yeah. Frozen Over is a fucking really good band, man. I really liked the dynamic, like that they knew what they were playing and they could just fucking show up and play for 8 minutes and it'd be pretty intense. Like Neil is a really good front man like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I know he hates people saying kind things about him, but not only is he a legend, he's a fucking really good front man and musician. So
he's a great photographer.
You, Neil. I love you.
Did you grow up here, Zach?
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, for the most part. I'm from Mount Gambier.
Yeah.
In South Australia.
And how did coming to Melbourne, were you already into hardcore and stuff before you came here, or is that sort of developed since you lived here?
I was pretty lucky with my dad. He put me on to a lot of things. And same with my mum, she liked punk music.
So
my dad liked hardcore and metalcore, so
great.
It was pretty easy for me. It was more or less about participation and being involved.
Yeah.
That took me a little minute. So
and how did you get into that? Was it just through meeting people?
Just went to shows for ages by myself, just stood in the back corner.
Yeah.
Like a fucking loser for ages.
That's kind of good though.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to interact with people.
It's kind of a sick vibe. But yeah, then I started meeting a couple buddies, and then they introduced me to a couple buddies and, so forth and so forth. But yeah, it took a quick minute before I felt like I was comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's good.
It's always weird moving to big smoke from little town. I mean, Canberra arguably is not that small a town, but when I moved here, had I not been here and played lots of shows beforehand, it would have been daunting.
Yeah, overwhelming.
I didn't know anyone apart from people that had moved from north to here.
Yeah,
I didn't
know
anyone in Melbourne.
Yeah.
So I just went to every show that I could possibly go to, grind shows and shit at the Art House. Yeah, there's so many good bands back then too, punk.
Yeah.
Punk bands that I'd never heard of. And yeah, there's a band called Pathetic Human. I don't know if you remember them. Mm. They were fucking really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really just got into that shit for ages. And then I eventually went to a toe-to-toe show and met Pepper and a couple other people and Martin and Grono, who are all not from Melbourne too. So we all kind of, sort of bonded over that. And then that's how I sort of made friends in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where were the first shows that you went to, Zach?
Probably the Bendigo.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Because you're a bit younger, right?
I'm 26.
Yeah, you got a lot of tattoos for a 26-year-old. You
should say his dick.
It's covered.
No, I feel like we've talked about this before, and I think the last time you told me you were 26, I was like, man, I'm old.
Just walk over to your walking frame.
Yeah, fuck! But... maybe when we did the first of this podcast, we were wondering who we would talk to who had their first shows were at the Bendigo.
Yeah, grim, innit? No, it was good though.
No,
I watched Nathan.
Yeah, that's sick.
Free in that.
I mean, it's again, as I've said multiple times on this podcast now, this is not music for old people. This is music for young people that old people just are allowed to like and are allowed to keep doing. So
yeah,
and the Bendigo, make it sound so sinister.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it is.
Yeah, boss. True. Boss.
Was there a little bit of something about the Bendigo closing that was like, that's
not
that's,
at all. Not, not a single lick.
Yeah, like, no one's really buying those shirts, are they?
Yeah.
It's no Save the Toad, is it? That bandwagon sailed for the Bendigo.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
They made some choices.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't pay some Aaron Osborne's.
Might have to chuck an allegedly in here somewhere just to cover ourselves.
I'll put my bank deets at the bottom too if you want to follow up.
In the show notes.
Yeah. But so what were some of the first things that you went to there?
I reckon I watched Born Friend in prison there. That was like the very first thing I went and watched there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I was just in the back. I was like, fuck, this is epic.
Like, that's sick.
Just, yeah, I just remember being like, fuck. The whole time, just constantly, fuck.
And but are you saying that was awesome. One of your first shows?
Yeah, it was. Like, I remember, intentionally going to a hardcore show, that would have been the first time I went. It was like,
yeah,
this is epicness. But like,
first shows are pretty surreal. Yeah. Like, you feel like you're having an out of body experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there were a couple of times I took my mum to watch like bands that she liked.
Yeah.
But there was hardcore bands supporting them.
Mm.
And I was like,
yeah, that's sick. That's what kind of stuff was she getting into?
Dude, she likes pop punk, man.
That's fine.
At the time, she was like, yeah, I love the fucking story so far and shit. And I was like, oh, I mean, yeah, sure. She want to go?
That's great.
Yeah, it was cool.
Now you can put her on the door for things.
Yeah, she's coming Friday.
Oh, yes.
What a legend.
Love legendary. That. Yeah, good on her, honestly.
I can't wait to meet your mum.
Yeah. She's probably your age.
Oh. Yeah, probably. Nah. Oh, well. Yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, parents are a great intro to that stuff, particularly if they like modern stuff. Yeah. That's very helpful. Yeah, but, like,
the last few times I've taken my dad to Path, he's like, fuck, that dude played in Carpathian.
Man.
That's which sick. Is sick. And I'm like, it's funny, full circle.
Mm. Yeah.
Full circle thing.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to observe that as, like, a. Someone whose parents, like my mum would just be like,
yeah,
if she came to a show. My dad would be like, that's cool if he was there, but
yeah.
You know.
No, my mum, I think the last time my mum saw Slowburn, but has never seen any of my other bands.
I remember watching the Slowburn last show footage in that massive shed.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty wild.
It was crazy.
How many kids were there?
It would have been like hundreds, 200 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Relentless played that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, we kind of had not been a band for ages.
Yeah.
Because I Exist was like already.
Taking off.
Yeah, like touring at that point. But I guess we were kind of like, we should play a last show because like, we're definitely not going to keep being a band.
Mm-hmm.
Like we should finish this up kind of thing. And where we did that last show was just where I Exist jammed. Like there was a bunch of rehearsal rooms there. And it was kind of like the main warehouse area. And the dude who owned it just said we could book a show there. But I think in I think Phantoms played it too. Maybe it was like, which is very funny now thinking about that.
Yeah.
But it was like this, you know, silly melodic hardcore band, like Relentless, Phantoms.
Back then, it kind of didn't matter, though. It still doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Shouldn't matter.
No.
As long as everyone's on the same wavelength with, like, how a show should be.
Yeah.
It just shouldn't matter.
Mm.
We definitely played, like, a couple songs twice because people just kept...
People just wanted more.
Play again.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're like, all right, well...
That's awesome.
We're never going to play again, so may as well do it twice.
Zach, how's the, like, I guess being a bit younger and like the time that you were sort of getting into hardcore, it was probably in the maybe a little bit of a dip, and now to see where it's like come at, does that feel pretty cool to have sort of stuck with it and then see it really awesome. Popping now?
That was a big dip.
Yeah.
Big dip.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome.
Do you see this hair color? Yeah.
We almost got the same hair color, bro. That's why I wear a hat everywhere.
Yeah, I'm bald. That's why I wear a hat.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty awesome, especially like, you know, having the opportunity to be with Speed and be introduced to this whole new world of people and, you know, new kids.
Yeah, yeah.
new people getting into fucking hardcore music.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. And they're coming from like every facet of another subculture too, which I think is cool, which then in turn, if you then become involved with those people, introduce you to another whole
world
in
itself. But yeah, it's cool. Like, you know, fashion people, fucking electronic music people, art people, it doesn't really matter. It's just like they're all sort of gravitating towards this thing.
Yeah, it does
and
seem...
It's a cultural swing, and I think it's in like... it's pretty in vogue with a lot of other alternative things.
Yeah, yeah.
That have been out of fashion for a long time. And now it's sort of come full circle a little bit. Like, why are people making their identity the Deftones, bro? Like...
I've been asking that question for years.
Do you find it as kind of a much more wholesome, reminiscent of the time, like, say, 2005, or like where, you know, for me, watching guys like Winston on stage, being a bodyboarder, I already looked up to him and his brother for bodyboarding.
Because
they were really fucking good. And just like seeing them do bands at the time, like, that was sick. But there was also, like, then in the local shows at, like, the Yak, but then, like, you know, the high school would be, like, bleeding through and there'd be, like, 600 kids there or whatever. But it was, like, there was much more of, like, there was that barrier kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I feel like now there's, like, all that shit's gone. It's, like, everyone's just much more kinder towards each other and there's, like, a lot less toxicity.
It's interesting you say, like, the fashion electronic music thing, because I definitely noticed that. It seems like you go to shows and it's like less people dressed exactly the same. It does seem like it's a bit more of a mixed culture, which is like a way for it to keep going.
Grow. And people are clearly bringing like their own identity more to it rather than.
Yeah. It doesn't have to become a fucking fashion show, but.
Yeah.
Like, but thinking they have to fit some kind of thing.
Yeah. Like,
that's the least punk thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah. So absolutely.
It's like, just doing what you want to do and being involved in your way, that's and contributing your way, that's what it should be about.
Yeah, for sure. I think like I think when I first started, you know, going to this stuff, which was like kind of a similar time, was it was definitely far more like, I mean, for me personally, like, I had hair down to my ass and was a death metal kid.
Epic.
And truly. And
was it blonde or black?
Oh, blonde as hell.
Yeah, cool.
Couldn't have been more blonde.
Yeah, right.
Because it'd be so sick if you dyed it black. But yeah, that's another story for another time.
Well, I can't do anything with it now. So
fuck. You can draw it on.
I could do
we'll
that.
Go to Turkey.
Yeah, you can go to Turkey.
I did actually.
That's why we're getting the Patreon going. Send Aaron to Turkey.
I'm in Turkey. Side note, the other day I was meeting with a builder at a work site that is building this new office for my work. And he was like, oh, I've got to have like 2 weeks off so we can't have a site meeting. And I was like, oh, okay, what are you doing? And he goes, just, you know, getting plugs, man. And I was like,
straight to Istanbul, brother.
I was like, plugs? And he was like, yeah, getting hair. I'm getting hair put in.
Getting tunnels, bro.
And I was like, oh, that's the first person I've ever heard be like, so like, I'm getting this thing done. And I was like,
poignant about it.
Like, yeah. I'm doing this.
You man.
Fair enough.
Like, but no, and I said, I was like, I wish I had the strength within myself to get teased by everyone I know.
I just don't understand the weird toothpaste looking shit. Like,
it looks disgusting. Yeah, That's actually why I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, but I think like, it does really feel like now there is. Well, certainly there's a lot more like mixed bill shows seem to be coming way back into vogue, which is like amazing because I think that's the thing that I miss the most
big time
in like the dip downtime period of hardcore, which over the last however many years, which was when it was just every show was just the same band four times, but getting better.
Like climbing the ladder.
Each next band on the bill was just a little bit better than the one before it.
I put on a lot of shows at the Gasso that were like that. Just like, all right, the young kids that want to sound like the band that they're playing before.
Yeah.
Again and again.
Do that four times.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're back at the Gasso booking a show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Primitive Blast Street Sweeper have pulled out, sadly.
Oh, what the heck?
Yeah.
Alec. One day.
Yeah. On the day.
Oh, my God.
That's all right. Shit happens. You know, I'm not going to get hung up on that. People have lives to live. But so, yeah, we're just looking for another band currently. But and then Syntax as well, which I've never seen, but I'm keen to see them.
Yeah. I've played with them a few times. They're very dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be sick. I mean, I haven't been to a show upstairs at the Gasso since the dark times, basically.
But. Yeah, the last time I was there was the last show I put on there, which was 2013.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I was working there as well in the kitchen, and the owner was just like, "Well, that's it. I'm out of here. I haven't paid my bills. I'm skipping the country."
That was another classic
venue.
Yeah,
but he never failed to pay people though. Or never failed to pay me.
Yeah.
From what I hear from other people, he just didn't pay his alcohol bills.
Yeah, that was the big thing, right?
He was just like, fuck it.
He owed CEV like hundreds of thousands of dollars and just peaced out.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, they got enough
respect,
money.
Respect, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. They're making so much money at the fucking footy.
Like. Yeah. Yeah, in one day they would make probably what he owed.
Yeah.
Like at the footy.
Yeah, 100%. Today.
At the VFL.
Yeah.
How did the link up with Speed and all that happen? You just mates with them?
Yeah, just buddies. Yeah. Just buddies. And I went over for Sound and Fury 2022.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I knew that they were doing the tour.
Mm.
And I was on the fucking floor at the Airbnb and I was snapping. And they were in the back and they were like, fuck, like, no one's almost sold out. Sydney's almost sold out. Whatever, like, Brisbane's almost sold out. And it was in like with a few hours that it was all sold out. And then when I got home, I was like, yo, do you guys need like a hand on tour? Like, had heaps of fun in LA and the fucking Bay Area with them, and I was like, dude, I just want to do that.
Get me in there.
Just, oh, yeah. Yeah. I was like, to Jeremy, I was like, do you need a hand? He's like, I'll let you know. And then he's like, oh, if you want to come do merch, like, it's all good. Like, and I was like, okay, yeah, I'll do whatever.
Yeah, sick.
And then that was it.
That is a much quieter way than he speaks. He's much more like
expressive,
yeah, more expressive. Yeah.
Over the top.
It was kind of there, but like, it's not loud enough.
It's not quite there.
I fucking love that motherfucker.
Yeah, and, such a bastard.
We'd be remiss to not mention the fact that you're the first guest to have brung a trinket.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Do you want to, for the audio listeners, do you want to give us a little description?
Is that Doraemon or whatever?
Yeah,
it's
not I've bad in it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Where did you get this from?
At Million Life.
Okay.
I took a girl on a date there once, and I won her two of them, and I didn't get one.
So then and it's back. Just been grinding on you ever since.
Yeah, it's been grinding ever since.
So I broke into her house.
So then I went today at the same spot and I was like, you know what, I'm going to get one myself. So then I went and I won it. Claw machine. Epic. Very easy.
Sick.
How many goes did it take?
I took a few. Yeah. best $20 I ever spent, honestly.
Hey, that's not bad. That's
Bad.
Have you seen those?
These licensed products, they're like $80. A little Kirby, $70. Fucking come on.
Have you seen those machines at like, I don't know what the place is called, but you put the coins in. It's like in a kid's arcade.
Yeah.
You put the coins in, but like, what do you win?
Do you know what do you mean?
Like, you put coins in a thing and it drops down and pushes more coins in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're like ticket tokens.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm like, this is fucked up. It's like 12-year-olds like scratching themselves and fucking putting coins
in. Give me more.
Yes.
They're just neck and prime putting coins in.
Logan Paul.
Man.
Yeah, it's their daddy for sure.
Oh my God. Those guys, they've figured it out.
They have. They got their fucking algorithm on lock, bro.
Oh my God. Now, this is the thing. I don't know if it's since we've started doing this again, but my algorithm has started becoming like real, I guess because I'm contributing like white man with microphone into the into the algo. I'm getting that back
into
now.
Yeah, but at least it's not like fucking the AFL jabronis where like every retired player or every NFL player has a podcast, bro. Like that's so boring.
They
I can't
do.
Hear about them going to Electric and Chapel Street ever again. That's just so boring. Scream in there.
I just get fitness influences. It's fucked. Like ones.
Look at you, man.
Swole Nation.
I'm doing all right. I could definitely stand to lose a few kgs, but
do you get that Burpee King guy?
Nah, I get the guy that like, I think he's like Physique Factory and he just calls you a fat cunt. And like, he's clearly like, yeah, I don't know, trying to demotivate me. I don't know. It's like, he's fucked in the head.
Negative reinforcement.
There's that.
So what's next for you guys? You're on away for a little bit.
I'm away for a little bit on the Drain Tour.
Sick.
And we recorded drums for a new song last night.
Dope as hell.
So yeah, we're
lay guitar down.
Yeah, we'll do that soon. We'll do that. We'll do it all before he leaves.
Oh yeah.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. Get that going.
And you got any other shows? I mean,
Restraining Order.
Yep.
Yeah. That's tomorrow. Tomorrow
night. Yeah. Tomorrow night. And then yeah, a couple unannounced ones.
Mm. Yeah. Nice.
At the moment. So
when you get back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
I get back in late June. So yep. That'll be kind of like.
No, we're gonna get a hologram.
Yeah,
yeah.
Tupac style.
That's zoom good. In. Yeah.
Just Dane Coachella swag.
Coachella.
We had talked about doing a show together.
That'd be epic.
Stan and Agler, which I think we should say that now.
Yeah.
And then we have
to. Well, do you want to play the last chance in a few?
Well, that's when you'd ask.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got hit up again.
I asked you with like 23 minutes notice.
You did. Yeah. I think you asked me on Tuesday if we could play tomorrow. I did ask everyone though. And like half the people could do it. Yeah. But I'm really stuck without a drummer.
Are you very free in July?
Is he not?
I am very free in July, actually.
Is he not the, like, is he not the in the drumming department all the time, or
no? He's two in the drumming department, is what I would say.
Is he drums for other shit?
He's drumming all the time.
Yeah.
If he's like every drummer.
Yeah,
he's a unicorn.
Yeah. Well, let me say he's a really, really talented drummer. Yeah.
Oh, he rips.
You're very lucky to have talented drummer, as am I with the bands that I've been.
Yeah,
I've
been
very fortunate. It's just a shame. Like, if you're listening to this and you're young and you want to play drums, just do it.
Yeah.
For the greater good.
If you're already.
You seen that movie Hot Fuzz? For the greater good.
Yeah. If you've started playing guitar recently, put it down.
Yeah. Smash it over your head.
There's start enough of us. Drum. We've got enough guitar players.
Enough shit ones. Right.
What else you got coming up? Other bands wise?
I'm trying to do some other things. Near Death Experiences, trying to put out an EP. It's pretty much recorded.
Yeah.
Just waiting on a few things from a few people.
Yeah.
Doesn't help that George lives in
the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. 6 hours from Newman in Western Australia. But we wanna do some stuff later in the year, and we might go and try and just jump over and play Perth.
Yeah.
Which easy for me, Zaid and Dan to just go there and meet him there.
Yeah.
Because he gets free transit between.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm working on a couple other things, but
sex press.
Yeah. Hey, what? Sex press.
Yeah. Sex press.
Express. Yeah. yeah. Right. I thought you were. Yeah,
no, I'm the guitar player.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Well, we do. Yeah, Aaron and I are trying to do express, and we're trying to do it, but there's a lot of.
You got to learn how to play the songs.
Yeah, there's also that.
So you can show me how to play them.
I thought you'd just pick it up by ear, but that's okay.
I don't do that, man.
Yeah.
What? You're just ringing in every band at the moment.
I don't care.
Yeah. Respect. I'm doing the same shit.
What else do I have to do?
Yeah.
We're from this era of just playing 15 bands all the time.
Yep. Doesn't matter if you play it perfectly, just do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's all about being involved.
Yeah, exactly. What do you got coming up, Ben? You got anything to talk about?
Well, just Catfish every Tuesday. Got a little Sydney run coming up at the Comedy Store. Which would be dope to come through that. And then going to announce a little mini tour soonish, just like Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, like some redos of my show from last year because I'm taking it to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
So it's just like a warm-up. It's like a slightly new version of that hour with like a new 20, 25 minutes in it, which I'm stoked about. And then, just getting ready for that. That's it.
Dope.
Freshness. What have you got on Mr. Osborne?
Thank you for asking.
extortion.
Yeah, I've got an extortion show that I've been talking about every episode on the 10th of May. And then I got an Aglo show the next day on the 11th of May. And then extortion going to the States. I'll be there at the same time you are. I might actually see you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because I think we're playing in Chicago the same day as the Drain show.
Yeah, we got 2 days there.
Yeah, so I think I'll come to one of them because Twitching Tongues are playing it. Yeah.
Are Contaminated there the same time?
You're yes.
Like? That's crazy. Yeah. That's so cool.
Mm.
Yeah. So, go on there. And then Aglo's playing this Cold Day in Brisbane thing that just got announced. So I think tickets go on sale for that tomorrow. So by the time this comes out, they'll be out. So buy them. Come to that.
Aglo via way of Canberra.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. shout out to Brendan who
Tugger and Ong you sent up.
Yeah. Brendan sent me the flyer and I just said, I actually don't live in Canberra. And he was like, oh, when did you move to Melbourne? And I was like, ah, 14 years ago. But you know, whatever.
So heavily associated with the capital city.
Yeah.
Kind of respect it. You gotta fly the flag, man. If it wasn't for you and a couple other older dudes, like, you know,
it would have died.
I feel like you guys were carrying the flame for a long time.
Mm. And I did my best.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bit.
That's good.
That's well, even cooler. But shout out Hardblock too.
Restraining order are playing Canberra right now, very second.
They are.
Yes.
Which is sick.
It's probably dope.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it. Thank you guys coming and talking to us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Check out Disdain on the internet and at the shows coming up. This will be out after the show tomorrow. So
catch us in future then.
Yeah, catch them in the future. Thanks for being here, Ben.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, fellas.
Cheers.
Hell bye. Yeah.
Legendary.
Bye.